Every neighborhood in the region was affected by Hurricane Ivan, and telling the stories of those neighborhoods meant finding a way for reporters to travel to those neighborhoods.
And we didn't get up in the air like the photographers.
Troy Moon was a reporter for the News Journal when Ivan hit.
So there was a lot of groundwork, a lot of driving. I remember early on just getting in my vehicle and navigating what neighborhoods I could. I came out of my house. I lived right by Jerry's drive-in, right behind there. Power was out, there were trees down, but I could get out of the neighborhood, and literally you start driving to various neighborhoods, the closer ones, you know, because you can get to them. And luckily I was in Pensacola proper, so I could see the Pensacola neighborhoods, but it took a little while longer for us to get out to some of the other neighborhoods. But I did make it to Grand Lagoon pretty soon, and I spent a lot of time over at Grand Lagoon. It's an old neighborhood, old West Side neighborhood on the water. I know a lot of retired military folks there and got to know them pretty well. Those homes were just completely gone. Katie saw a lot more, but to me, Grand Lagoon is the neighborhood that sticks out in my head.
Sitting and reminiscing about the days after Ivan 15 years later with photographer Katie King and me, Troy Moon says one story from Grand Lagoon that made a chilling impression on him was a story of a couple who drowned in their front yard.
How do you drown in your own yard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. You drown in your own front yard. They were literally out there and they perished. And I met so many retired couples who had everything in their homes. And then the fights with insurance agents afterwards. But for me early on, it was a lot of driving, a lot of wet notepads, just trying to get wherever I can, you know, and dodging those lines and going to get little snippets of neighborhoods. You couldn't get in and do every neighborhood, but you could give people taste of various neighborhoods. But you really have to worry about the logistics of it all. I mean, with lines down and roads closed.
The bridge gone.
You're trying to find different ways and looking at maps to find shortcuts and back roads to areas. I think overall we did a pretty good job. I think we did the community proud.
There were also stories that had to be untold. After the storm, there was a steady stream of rumors making their way through the community that needed to be either verified or debunked. There was one particularly gruesome rumor that said there were refrigerated trucks lined up at Sacred Heart Hospital filled with bodies.
That was a huge one, and we finally had to address that.
Right.
We had to do a story on it.
At first, we just said, let that go, but it got to be such a prevalent rumor that we did a front page story. I remember that. And Sheriff McNesby at the time said, if anybody knows of anybody who is missing or has died and hasn't alerted anybody, let us know. And to my knowledge, nobody came forward.
No, there were all these claims. I mean, unsubstantiated, dozens and dozens of
dead
bodies packed in, you know, in this truck. Well, where are their relatives searching for? Does not anyone care? No, but still, those rumors can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you hear that and you believe it, there's this mistrust that grows.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really important. I thought Randy Hammer, mm-hmm. I think, wrote the editorial. Maybe it was you. I don't know. Really strongly worded about the rumors and just how they were all a bunch of malarkey.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't only dozens of dead bodies, but then it was also, the Tom Thumb at XYZ Street has gas.
And yes.
And so hundreds of people would head that way.
And it's not.
And then they wouldn't have
accurate
gas, so now they've wasted a gallon of gas trying to get there, mm-hmm. only to be turned away.
Yeah, we were doing
it. It really
that
is kind of like the fog of Hurricane
mm-hmm.
War.
Yeah.
Because there's just rumors and stuff, and you're trying to make sense of everything. And I think we did a pretty good job of just laying down the facts of what happened.
Somebody called, and there was an Albertsons at Mobile Highway back then. And said, the Albertsons on Mobile Highway is open. You need to put that on your website. Well, luckily, I think it was Sheila Ingram had gone to Osceola Golf Course to check on the damage there. And so I had her swing by, and she said, no, those are the employees. There was a crowd, but no, those are the employees. And the manager said, we'll meet at 2 o'clock on whatever day it was to assess the damage to the store, and I can tell you when to get back to work. But no, somebody drove by, saw a crowd, assumed the Albertsons was open. If we had just posted that, there would have been 1,000 people who were looking for water, food,
and then
whatever.
And upset with the News Journal
exactly
for giving up
right
false information.
And so we decided early on that unless it's somebody we trust, government agency, police, whomever.
Or see it with our own eyes.
Or see it with our own eyes. We weren't going to put anything on the website.
You can still read many of the stories published in the days and weeks after Hurricane Ivan on the News Journal website, pnj.com. And you can also listen to some of the radio coverage from before and after Ivan on our website, wwf.org. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the lessons we learned covering the hurricane. Tom Ninestein, WWF News.